This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Mary Shedden with Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. A few days ago, news broke about the assassination of a Russian ambassador to Turkey as he was speaking at the opening of a photo exhibit. Within hours, the shooting in Ankara was leading newscasts and filling social media feeds around the world. There's a reason why so many publications were sharing this story. An Associated Press photographer and other journalists were in the room taking photos, and the AP quickly shared images and video. Kelly, the images showed the shooter standing next to the ambassador's body, shouting and thrusting a gun in the air. It was really jarring.
So this was an assassination that happened in front of at least two news photographers, possibly three. When I looked at images from this incident, I saw Burhan Özıblısı from the Associated Press, his name on some of the images. I also saw a second photographer named Hasim Kilis, and he works for a Turkish newspaper. There were other images from the Agence France-Presse, and so there may have been a third photographer there as well.
Was it something more because it happened at a photo exhibit as opposed to a state address or something like that? What made this news?
What made it news and what made it visually interesting are two completely different things. What made it news is it has the potential to start an international incident. What made the images visually compelling was the stark contrast of this very clean, almost sterile art gallery, and then this assassination victim lying, you know, spread eagle, and a gunman standing over him.
And it used to be that news organizations would ask, should we publish this kind of graphic, violent image? And now it seems to be an issue of when and how quickly can we do it?
Yeah, especially because, you know, the AP put this up on Facebook and it was shared very fast. Mashable did this really interesting analysis and it said that the photo was shared 175 times faster than the average engagement. So if you're a news organization, as soon as the photo's out there, if it's this compelling, you know that other people are going to be sharing it. And so it almost neuters your own independent ability to make that decision because all of your audience is seeing it somewhere else. So if you don't share it, if you don't publish it, you become irrelevant. And the video has a different quality to it. It is the moment of someone's death and also incredibly sterile, right? You don't see blood ever in the video. But it was also distributed very quickly. And I think video of horrific events gets a lot of traffic because people are drawn to it in a morbid sort of a way. It's almost like you can't stay away from it. You see that graphic warning, and it's almost like an invitation to click on the video.
How would this be covered if this assassination had happened on American soil?
Oh, this would be completely different if this was an American. If you want to think about a parallel case, the shooting of the news crew in Roanoke, Virginia on live TV is a similar case. It was a live broadcast and somebody assassinated them. That video, while it was shared widely on our media, was not posted to Facebook by news organizations. They were very reluctant to show that video over and over again or to post it on the internet. You can still find it, but not on news sites.
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, thanks for helping unpack a difficult but important thing that journalists do.
You're welcome, Mary.